Welcome to the Random Podcast with Raffi and Chandra.
Welcome back to another episode of the Random Podcast with Raffi and Chandra.
Hooray!
Welcome, everybody.
You're sounding a bit soft, Chandra.
Welcome, everybody. Hopefully that's
much better. That is. So today we are doing a mini-sode, which is going to be a bit of catch-up, but excitingly, we have another voicemail message. Yes, that's right. We're going to be playing that in a little bit, but that deserves another episode as well as something through. And that does mean that there's going to be a Growing Up Brown story in this episode as well. But first
and
of all...
I have not heard this message. And so...
Well,
there we go.
I've heard like the first little snippet, so we had to do some exporting to make it play. So we're going to be both listening to it.
I have to make sure it's not just an Indian call center asking if you want to buy a house, just in case. Bit awkward.
Well, I think, or a Nigerian prince asking for some donations just so that they could verify our accounts.
Well, of course, you have to verify your accounts.
All right. But first of all, how are you? So Chandra, how are you?
Yeah, good. It's actually been genuinely nice to be in the same location for a whole series of like 3 weeks now. It's like it's somewhat unusual and it's been nice actually.
Where are you at the moment?
At the moment I'm in Bunbury. And to be in the same house for the whole time as well, it's actually been really nice.
Are you just living in a Tesla again?
Well, no, that's the thing. There's the kitchen, there's a fridge. It's amazing.
So you've discovered living in a house.
Yeah, pretty much. It's this new concept. I don't know if you've heard about it, but basically what you do, right, is you go to a place and you stay in the same place. And so then you've got all of your things. It's quite convenient.
Well, wow, that's a new thing. I'll have to try it someday. Yes.
I would highly recommend this to our listeners.
So what prompted this change and what were you doing before? I don't think you actually ever really clarified what you were doing before.
Well, I'm locum working, which means that I sort of provide cover for various people at various points in time as they're away. And so I work across quite a few different clinics around the place. So I was in Albany earlier this year, which is about a few weeks ago. Which is another sort of country town here in WA, about 4 or 5 hours drive away from here. So because I'm sort of working in one place for a few weeks and maybe another place for a couple of weeks, another place for a couple of weeks, it does mean that I very rarely get to stay in one place for a long time. So I will be here for another 2 whole weeks before I move again. So, you know, it's a start. On the upside, I'll be moving for a holiday, so can't really complain too much.
Okay.
It'll be my first official holiday.
Any sneak peeks into what you're doing?
Well, as a starting point, I'm going to be going to Sri Lanka.
Nice. You know,
grandparents getting a little bit old. My grandma's now 92. So, you know, was a bit unwell earlier this year.
I thought you were just going to be a spectator watching what an economic collapse looks like.
I'm seeing what's available on discount.
but it's relatively safe and all that stuff, is that right? You said you're...
Yeah, it seems to be. I FaceTime video called my sister for her birthday this morning. And
happy birthday if you're listening.
Yeah, there we go. She might be, actually. But she and my parents are there, and there didn't seem to be any rioting in the background at my grandparents' house, so I figure that's a good sign.
Okay, well, that's why we need scary sound effects as a result.
So
all right.
I will go
no more
find
of the soundboard
out firsthand.
For a little while.
No more soundboard for you. So I'm going to go and find out how Sri Lanka is in a little while, so that'll be interesting. If anyone else has been there recently, let me know how it is.
All right, now I've got to ask. So this has been your first year of full-time work since finishing, right?
Yeah.
So have you found it? Because you've done like the not working at all except for little bits and pieces here and there. Mm. And we were just chatting just before we started recording this, that it's a different thing. Like you've got to actually trade off different kind of trade-offs.
Yeah. I can't say I'm a fan, to be honest. It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
Yeah, so it's, I think we're talking about doing sort of creative things or at least deep work, especially when you've got a 9-to-5. And I think the closest analogy I came up with was kind of like when you're doing the 9-to-5 and it's like if it's typical-ish things that you're doing day to day, then you're kind of behaving like a cog. But it's like your brain becomes optimized for doing that task, whatever it is, whatever your 9-to-5 is. And so it actually takes like a disproportionate amount of time if you've been doing it for a while to get out of that mode to change your tech. And I'm not sure if you found that.
Well, I think the other thing is I'm kind of doing it in as least sustainable way as possible, i.e. I'm just trying to work as much as humanly possible this year. And so, you know, avoiding any days off, etc. So,
hey man, I can see how having weekends.
Well, this is true. I have weekends. This is ophthalmology. Let's face it. Weekends and after five. I mean, who works those kind of hours? That's just crazy talk. Yeah, like I can see how, you know, if you would, you know, take a day off, take an afternoon every so often and whatnot, much more sustainable, be much more enjoyable. But I find, yeah, the biggest thing is to do any deep work things, it ends up on the weekend. And like I was saying, one of the hard things, I'm like, oh, all right, well, I'm really tired at the end of the week. So do I do some work on the Saturday and then rest on the Sunday? But if I take my rest on Saturday, I feel like I'm just going to rest on Sunday as well and get nothing done. So it makes it very difficult to do the outside project things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I found that, you know, especially given doing this for a little while, that the time taken to unwind exponentially grows if you haven't had frequent breaks in between. And that's been like the curse of COVID because I feel like I haven't had those breaks. So when in the past I would have said, I think I've mentioned this before in one of the other podcasts, like a few days off here and there kind of make me feel recharged. Now I'm just looking forward to my holidays at the end of August where I have a month off. And I think I'm going to need that just to actually get to the point where, finally get to unwind.
Yeah. Well, you've got a nice holiday coming up as well then, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm taking 1 month off. Especially because so about a month and a bit ago, I think during the last episode, so had lots of family visiting, got married, and that was just a whirlwind of trying to call in favors so that I could take... Extended family had never been to Australia, so for good reasons...
It sounds like a pretty relaxing kind of month.
Yeah, that's it.
Ticked off a few items on your to-do list. went traveling.
And, yeah, well, it was like herding cats, man. It was... there's a growing up brown section coming up, but I'm going to change what I was going to originally talk about and just put this in instead. trying to organize stuff with family was very last minute. So there was a lot of last minute jiggling of my schedule just so that I could get stuff done. So it basically took up a lot of time and a lot of favors, and now I'm paying back for those favors. So even though this entire time I've been going, yes, I'm going to cut down, have some more time, I just looked at my schedule, and today is the first day off in 13 days. So I work 13 days. This would have been 2 weeks straight if I hadn't had today off.
Seems to be a theme.
yeah. So I did realize, so when I went to Canberra, so just before this whirlwind tour kicked off, I looked at my calendar and I was like, wow, every month I have like one fun thing and everything else is work. So I'm going to change that. So the other thing I've been trying to do and I have committed to doing is going on these flight lessons, right?
Learning how
did
to fly.
Not think it was, yeah, did not think it was this hard to give people money. So I rang up one
what
flight
do you mean?
So I don't know anything about flying, right? Like, as in, I've been on planes, I've been on these little single engine things as well in the past.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, right? You get on the plane, they give you some champagne, and you get to your destination.
Halal champagne, of course.
Well, of course, sorry. Grape juice. Bubbly.
That is the most recent flight that I went on. I've missed just traveling so much. It was just a Gold Coast, and it was just nice going to the lounge and just doing some work at a lounge. It just, I was like, I feel like I'm home. But anyway, getting sidetracked on that one. So I don't know anything about learning how to fly. I've got a friend who's done it, who's also an anesthetist, and one of the nurses at work, whose partner is a pilot. So everyone kind of said, oh, I'll go to this flight school, that flight school. And I was like, look, I don't think I'll go to any unless it's close, right? So the ones they were suggesting is like an hour and 20 minutes away, and the other one's like an hour away. And given that I have such limited times, I know that if it's not easy and I can maximize my time there, I'm just not going to do it. So I picked the one that's 20 minutes away, which is Essendon in Melbourne. And there's two main, well, there's a few, but there's two main ones that keep on coming up that are the good flight schools. And the people at work and the people that I know don't know much about either of them. So what I thought I'd do is do, you can do this thing called trial introductory flights. So these are like your introductory lesson sort of thing. They go for about an hour and, you know, you basically get a participation certificate to say, yay, you might like it. And this is like their loss leader thing to get you into the program. Yeah. So I thought, you know what, I'll just email both of them, book a flight each. Worst comes to worst, like it's like two flights, they'd be fun anyway. And I will schedule them in, and then whichever one I like more, I'll go do that, because there's no other info and I can't tell which one to pick. Yeah. And they have two different starting planes as well. So one's a Cessna and the other one's a Piper. Supposedly one's high wing, one's low wing, whatever that means. I have no idea.
Oh, right? That makes a lot of sense.
Well, like as in what it is, if you
does
think
one
about
fly
the plane,
above the ground and one flies below the ground? Or?
No, like as in if you think about the planes, right? Like say you're getting onto a commercial plane, you go on the aero bridge and you climb into the cabin, and from the cabin you can see the wings because the wings are below you, right? Like as in you're sitting, like if there's a line, the carriage is on top, whereas the single engines, some of them are, the wings are on top and the carriage is stuck underneath, right?
Doesn't matter, like as long as the plane stays in the air, I figure that's the most important thing.
Well, it's not even something that I would have even thought of, right? Except one of the people that flies, the nurse, his partner flies, she's like, there's some different characteristics. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but, you know, you have to see which one you like more. I'm like, okay. So hence, I was like, given that there's two different schools that have two different planes, it'd be very good to see what the hell the difference is, because I don't know, right? So that's what I've been trying to do. It's been a month now, and one of them, the bigger flight school, I've tried calling. They gave me some very vague pointers, and they said to email, and they have not responded to anything. So I have decided, well, the other flight school has... So I rang them up, and they're like, yep, this is what you do. You got to give us some availability. So like, oh, can I do that? It's like, oh, you have to go on our website to buy the voucher. Like, okay, what do I do with the voucher? It's like, well, then after you have the voucher, you call us to tell us your availabilities. I'm like, I'm on the phone to you right now. Can I just do this? And they're like, no, you have to get the voucher. So I got the voucher. The voucher is literally a PDF that says you have a voucher. Call this number or email this person. And I was like...
what I'm hearing is maximum efficiency.
But at least they picked up the phone. The other flight school, the bigger one, just stopped responding.
Love it when you call back, then they're just like, yeah, sorry, we've stopped using those vouchers anymore. I'll be like, ultimate scam, brown points, plus one.
So I gave them availabilities for today, but the weather in Melbourne is absolutely shocking. So
you know where the weather's not shocking? Bunbury. It's pretty good today.
Yeah, but where's the plane?
I'm sure they've got planes here, actually. Was in Manjimup yesterday for a truffle festival. And even in the middle of nowhere in Manjimup, there was planes.
Didn't you do this last year?
I did. So officially, the Manjimup Truffle Festival wasn't on. So instead, me and a couple of other off-thale friends went down for dinner on Friday, stayed in one of the country towns. So it was like a truffle degustation. Except, I guess I won't name names, but at the place... It was a really nice degustation, but we couldn't really taste the truffle in any of the dishes. And the nicest dish was like
a
mushroom dish.
Well, the festival didn't happen. So how can there be truffles?
Well, they had
truffles. The festival didn't happen. Yeah.
And they had a really nice dessert, which tasted like a choc top. And it was reminding me of a really good choc top. And I was like, this is good. So, but we did go on a truffle hunt, which was actually quite good. They sort of taught you about, you know, how it all works and how does the truffle sort of, you know, farms work. There's a lot of upfront work that goes into it. These plants are like planted. It takes like 10 years, and it it's basically infected with fungus, and it takes 10 years or so before the farm starts producing anything. So, yeah, it seems like a lot of work, but it was quite cool.
Truffles.
You got to see how they got to train the dogs and things like that. It was two dogs, one which was very, very attentive and was sniffing around the ground and paying a lot of attention. And then there was a newer dog that was learning that basically just kept looking around and everything was like, hello, hello. What? There's a sound over there. I need to go check it out.
It reminds me of my cats.
Yeah, I was like, there's Luna and there's Gary. It was like one of your cats.
Yeah.
Probably be just like, hello, can I instead just play with you instead of looking for these truffles?
Yep, that definitely sounds like one of them. The other one would just try to scratch you, so anyway.
Yeah, and one of the very interesting learnings was apparently one of the big differences between truffle dogs versus truffle pigs. So the reason they use truffle pigs is because pigs naturally go like to dig up truffles and eat them in the wild. So they like the truffle.
Wow, didn't know that.
But the problem is then if you use a truffle pig, apparently you have to fight the pig for the truffle because it wants to eat the truffle. Whereas the dog doesn't necessarily want to eat the truffle. So I feel like the dog seems like a better choice.
But I suppose the difference is that you have to train the dog, whereas the pig is like, what, this truffle? I'll go find it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
The pig is intrinsically motivated to go find the truffle.
Yeah.
The dog, you need still doggy treats.
And apparently, you know, some of the truffle farms that are very close to the state forest where there's some pig problems, the wild pigs will come in and look for the truffles.
Well, but how do you fight them off? Do you, like, hold up a piece of bacon?
I think the trained ones, you have to literally, like, hold them back while you quickly get someone else to get the truffle out.
I'm just seeing a farmer run up with, like, a packet of bacon going, you want this to be you? Yeah, yeah. You stop now.
Or I'm imagining if anybody's seen the video of the Northern Territory, there was a publican, the guy that runs the pub, who basically had a crocodile that looked like in the backyard of his pub or something, and he's got a frying pan, and as the crocodile lunges at him, he whacks him, bumps him on the head with the with the frying pan. And in the interview afterwards, he's like, oh, no, that's, oh, I can't remember the name of the croc, but he's got a name for that croc. And he's like, yeah, she's normally lovely. Like, Australia.
Yep. There's a reason Crocodile Dundee was made here.
Anyway, shall we? I'm very curious to hear this voice message.
Okay. So this is our attempt. So we haven't actually played this. It's come through Anchor. So for those listening, leave us a message. If you go to anchor.fm/randint, it'll get there and there's a little button and we love receiving them. So we've downloaded it. It's on the soundboard. So we're going to listen to it for the first time.
I feel like
we need a drum roll. And before we do, like, subscribe and all that stuff for
click the buttons.
Yes, that. And do we have a... We've got that. We have a drum roll. I'm sure I saw a drum roll.
Of everything, you don't have a drum roll? Hiya. Yay!
Ta-da! Nope, let's not do it twice.
Hi, Raffi and Chandra.
Ooh.
This is Jean. I'm recording this message to make sure that you actually get on top of doing that Growing Up Brown episode, because that sounds amazing. I hope to hear lots of fun stories of your childhoods. Thank you for the podcast. Always enjoy listening. Bye.
Wow. Hang on.
Yay.
Where's the... Yay.
Hey. Awesome.
Well, thank you, Jean, for listening and also for sending us a message. It seems to be the way to bribe people is to do the Growing Up Brown episodes. So that will be coming up near the end of the show.
As promised, there will be Growing Up Brown.
Okay. Now for something totally random. This, I think you wanted to do an episode on learning stuff this time around, but we've changed it to toxic traits because
it's not learning, but different.
Well, our last kind of catch-up episode, we kind of had this small section on how, you know, we have these little self-destructive moments where I'll eat just a bunch of fried chicken even though I'm not hungry, and Chandra kind of writes off his days. It seemed to have triggered an outpouring of people telling us their toxic traits, to the point where we have a whole list over here. So we thought we'd go over some of the ones that got mentioned in the... So Spotify now has a comments thing where you can answer questions. So some came through there, some were messaged through. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So this is like the first listener-led segment. So this one, so what I thought we would do is go over one of them and we would just comment on whether we've done it, if we've been guilty of this or not. And or what we think about it. So the first one was actually the summary of it is leftovers in the fridge, but it's leftovers in the fridge where you know that the next time you actually go find it, you're gonna go, oh, that's gone off, and we better chuck it in the fridge, in the bin, sorry.
So I literally had this yesterday because I was doing an experiment with salted salmon, except. So you're supposed to salt it and put it in the fridge for 48 hours or so. But I forgot that I was going away. And so it kind of ended up more like 3 days. And the salmon was not that fresh. So made two portions, ate one. I looked at the other one. I was like, well, the first one didn't smell that good. But I don't want to throw away this portion of salmon. So I put it in the fridge and I'm trying to decide whether I should eat it tonight or not. Because it didn't smell good on the first day, so I'm hoping it smells better on the second day, now that it's had more time to mature.
Just for context, if you remember back to when Chandra was first moving to WA, I can't remember if he mentioned it during the episode, but when he was in ISO, I think we were trying to record an episode, and he was like, yeah, well, that salmon was definitely off.
Look, there's only really one way to find out.
Exactly this. But it was supposedly not quite right, and he paid for it for the next 24 hours, but I see it's been a year, and we've forgotten that last lesson.
What's that thing about some people learn from other people's mistakes, and some people just never learn?
Well, no, some people learn and they forget.
Well, I do have pretty bad memory, so I have to say I would definitely identify with that toxic trait.
All right, number two is... people who leave, like, you know, recycling bins. So, like, you know, because all the recycling goods are pretty big. So instead of putting it into the bin, when it gets filled up, taking it out, leaving the recycling thing on top of the bin. So it's like, you know, the bin's full egg carton or bin's full milk carton pyramid.
Well, the thing is, that then encourages everybody else to leave it on top, too.
I mean, this is obviously someone...
This is for shared apartment space.
No, this is someone living with their partner.
Oh, right, okay, awesome. Even better.
So, I will admit, I do a version of this, not because... I never used to. So, the reason for that is that I used to have, like, a standard pedestal bin, you know, like the press down with your feet, it opens up, then you put stuff in. But it just took up a lot of space, and I had this one empty cupboard, so I installed like an under the sink kind of drawer, but they're very low and shallow, so you can't even fit plastic bottles in, because they've got like this metal bar that everything hits, and it's got like this plastic covering, but there's also nothing else in that drawer thing, so there's like a flat surface, so for things that don't actually fit in, that's the only place I can put it. Otherwise we're back to using floor space in the kitchen, which was the entire reason of why I installed
what I'm hearing is poor life choice of bins.
Well, yeah, essentially. I mean, at the time I think I took the measure. Oh, so no, what it was initially I thought it was the only one that would fit because there was only this little gap. What I didn't realize is, like, most modern cabinetry, you can just, like, all the shelves, they're just these little nubbins that stick on the side of the wall of the cupboard, and you can move them up and down. So I didn't know. So I bought this one that fits in, but then didn't realize I could just move that entire thing off. So I could have gotten a bigger one if I wanted to. So Yeah, that's my bad for not knowing. But, you know, this was very much MacGyver DIY stuff. So I do that, but I think that's a little asterisk because there's a physical constraint of not being able to put stuff into that bin. Alrighty. Do you want to take the next one? We'll leave names out, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think the being a morning person, but having a job that means you have to start every day early, and also mad at life about that, but nothing to change it. Yeah, can understand that too. Definitely understand that.
Are you a morning person?
I go through phases. Like, if I need to get something done, I'm a 4 a.m. kind of person, and I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think by default willingly, you're a...
No, like, for example, today I woke up at midday. So, you know, I think my default setting is not morning.
Well, let's just say there were many times when, yeah, I have, when Chandra was living in this apartment, I'd kind of leave for work, I'd come back, and I'd be like, Chandra, you home? And he would still be in his room, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, I suppose that's the end of the day. I've just been lying here the whole day.
Yeah, I was just having a nap after my night's sleep.
No, I swear there were days where, you know, not many, but you'd woken up and then you got sidetracked by something YouTube, then you napped, and then you're like, oh, yeah, it's dark again. Damn, that was a waste of a day.
Yeah, it happens not infrequently. For that person, I highly recommend being unemployed. This is the solution. It really solved the morning problems. The mornings were no longer a problem when one is unemployed.
Oh, man. See, I'm normally a morning person, but I've genuinely found that this ridiculous work roster, I'm just too tired. So now I'm becoming like a sleep-in person, but by default, like, I'm really sensitive to light. So the moment there's bright lights, I'm awake. So it's a bit weird. So it's almost like work is forcing me to be a later person. What else have we got? Killing houseplants. I think everyone's guilty of killing houseplants. I think that just comes with the territory of houseplants. You're the first plant serial killer.
I kill zero houseplants.
Hang on, solution to this?
Correct. I have no houseplants. I have not killed a single houseplant.
So you're not a serial houseplant killer. Like, I mean, you know, you haven't lived a little.
I don't believe in this killing. I was gonna say we should do one of each other now as well.
Oh no, I gotta say this one is like one of my favorites though, which is when someone's like, you know, if you're living with someone and they clean up, but it's not really fully cleaned up. And I say this,
it sounds like someone may have experienced this problem
today. But it wasn't so much that I was experiencing the problem, it was more like I pointed this out and people didn't really like it when I pointed this out. I was like, I'm just trying to be like, you know, I was like,
don't be so picky with the cleaning, man. It's fine.
Look,
As it's, if it's less dirty than when it started off, it's fine. It's pretty good.
Except if it keeps being... Okay, so my big problem is specifically, if there's like a big counter space, right? Like be at a table or whatnot, right?
Sure.
For routine stuff, you wipe it down, whatever. You don't want to move shit around all the time. So, you know, you wipe it down and that's that. But every so often, being like, I don't know, every few weeks or something, gonna have to move whatever's on said surface if it's a busy surface and clean into the nooks, otherwise all that stuff accumulates, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I've never really done that either.
Yeah, so you definitely are this person.
I mean, look, I'm about the 80-20 rule, right? Like, look, just clean most and it looks pretty good.
It's not so much
and then
the looking,
there's a simple solution. No, then you move. No, it's fine.
Yeah, that's why I had to clean up after your freaking apartment. Like, how many times? No, the problem is, if you ignore it for long enough, you get mold. And mold that just you can't get rid of, and it stinks. right? So there is a reason for it, because otherwise you're making your life more difficult later on. So I was just pointing out, I was like, look, here, move it. See how there's all that crap there? Oh, that did not go down well today.
Yeah, no, I'm with them. Like, it's a lot of work. Like, look, it's a thought that counts. It's the thought that counts.
Is it? Is it? Because sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have just done it myself.
Maybe take a hint and do it yourself.
Well, okay. 90% of the time, it is me anyway, right? It's like sometimes, like, when you're kind of a bit flat out, it'd be nice. That's all. That's all. But anyway, moving on. So one's for each other, eh? Okay.
All right. Well, I'll start with you. So we alluded to this before, but I've noticed you often get busy accidentally without realizing.
Yeah.
Many times it's, okay, it's good. I've cleared my schedule. We're good. I'm going to have like these weekend plans. I'm going to keep it free. Next time we do a goal route. Oh, I don't have any days off anymore. Like, what just happened?
Okay. So as I was telling you, right? I don't know. Genuinely, it's freaking stupid because, and I blame medicine for this because, okay. So half of those end up like that because you get a phone call from people that we play computer games with or used to play Dota with all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh, hey, Rafi, how's it going? I'm like, oh, good, da 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 da. And then after like 2 minutes, they're like, so are you free for this list? And I'm like, so it wasn't a social chat, right? So what do you do? Do you like not answer calls from your friends? Like, you know? And the other part of it is this person recently, unfortunately, got COVID twice. So they're a surgeon and they have all these cases backed up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they initially wanted to do this whole day, like an hour away, and I said no to that. So they came back with, how about half a day, much closer to home? I was like, all right, fine, you know? But the thing is, it just happens all the time.
All I'm saying is it's a common theme and the common denominator is you.
I think I just have to learn how to be more of a dick, really.
And the other thing that I was going to put out there is a lack of outsourcing.
Yeah.
You tend to do everything yourself. And I'm wondering, though, if this is like a standard issue anesthetic training thing, that it's like a module in anesthetics, because you do everything through the day because you've got time during the day because you're an anesthetist. Like, you don't actually do anything. Like, coffee, right?
Well, you meant to outsource drinking coffee? No, thank you. That must stay.
So it seems like you do a lot of little things, which kind of seems to take up your time a bit. So just something.
Like, what do you mean? I don't get it.
Little administrative-y things, which I'm like, it'll be so much easier to get somebody else to do. Is available.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm not sure if that's part of anesthetic training or part of, like, that's just what I've adopted into. Like, that's the only time I have to do it. I think the first one is very true. See, all the other ones require a dedicated block of time to set up the system, right?
Yep.
And that's like my predominant problem at the moment is like...
Well, if you're too busy, you don't have time to set up a system.
Yeah, the system, so you can get
that's a problem.
Free. Yeah. So, I don't know. I've decided that I just don't have the effort left in me until I get to month-long holiday. And month-long holiday, I was initially planning on going, yes, I got to catch up on all this. But I decided, no, this holiday, I'm going to do something totally stupid. I'm going to go to Europe and I'm going to just plan nothing except fun stuff because I think after 2.5 years, I deserve it. And I don't want to set up systems. But if I come back and I get really pissed off at everything, like that's a clear signal. It's kind of like, you know, what's that story? The frog, you know, you can boil a frog slowly and it doesn't jump out of the pot. But if you try to do it too quickly, it jumps out. So I just feel like it's been so long that
you've been boiled
it's
slowly.
Been just, yeah, that I don't notice the things that irritate me. So now doing little things during the day is just the norm. I don't know if it bothers me or not, or I've gotten used to it. Whereas if I take the time away, I'll actually notice the things that actually subtly, you know, dig in like thorns versus just going, oh yeah, that's just day to day. So I think that's a better thing to do, to actually then make a catalog of stuff and go, okay, this stuff I don't like doing, I'm just going to hand it off to someone else. Because at the moment, everything I want to outsource is very much, I just literally have no time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about me?
Oh, dude, toxic trait. It's like, I know you're currently going through a cooking and gourmet phase, but you definitely have the opposite. Sardines on everything. Sardines on protein powder. Sardines with like, yeah, I'm just like, at one point it so was my absolute favorite. My absolute favorite was, I think you had protein powder, some whey thing. Oh, you had, what's it called?
Yogurt.
Athletic greens?
Yep.
Yeah, athletic greens, like it's like powdered vegetable thing, right? Then sardines, and he mushed it up, and it's this green vomit
and that
looking.
Was that was the avocado.
Yeah, sure.
Avocado,
sure.
Ketones, and sardines.
Yeah, see, he remembers it as if it's a recipe for delicious things.
It was really good. If anybody's getting into keto, I would highly recommend avocados, MCT powder, and sardines. Oh, mush them all up.
Okay.
Oh, delicious.
Okay. So just as a water warning, so he ate this once, and then he, at one point he's like, oh, I'm a bit full, I'm going to put it in the fridge. It turned to concrete.
Oh, yeah, was definitely the that's yogurt, protein powder, and athletic greens. I wouldn't recommend putting that in the fridge if anybody's thinking about it.
But if you've ever wanted to go, what does thickened vomit taste like?
Or at then least I highly recommend like sardines. speaking of sardines, I've been getting into making fresh sardines, and like properly, really nice. But I discovered there's only $8 for the whole bag of 1 kilo. It was amazing. Now they taste twice as good.
It's almost like a growing up brown treat. Like there's like, what, cheap? Tingle. That does taste delicious.
Just bought another bag.
Yeah, which brings me to the other one, which was like, so he's been talking about gourmet food, but he keeps on bringing up the sardines because they're $8. I'm like, dude,
yeah.
Cheap does not equal gourmet.
It's $8. And I've worked out how to use the whole fish, the spine, the head. I just haven't worked out what to do with the guts.
Eat them.
Like,
eat them straight.
Well, raw. I did Google. There seems to be some fish gut curry thing. I haven't quite got there yet, but I'm like, I paid for it. There has to be a
dear
way.
Dear listeners, Exhibit A. Chandra and culinary skills is, or at least trying to sell it as an appetizing thing. That's a toxic trait. Yeah, I need to figure out what to do with fish guts. Gotta eat the fish guts.
Okay, so I might be a little bit on the cheap side. All right, fine. I'll give you that.
Okay, I would say the opposite to me, Chandra, I'm not sure if it's like just pure genius or not, but Chandra will outsource everything. Everything. So I think once he was like, he helped me clean the apartment. Then he's like, nah, that's in the two-hour basket. All right, I'll pay double if I have to get a cleaner.
Yeah. So my solution to cleaning in the nooks and crannies is there's a cleaner coming.
All right. His solution to his apartment thing, right? His apartment in Perth, which I think we've mentioned so many times now. So he left. People came to pack it all up, right? Then his family came to pack it all up. I've never met his extended family. So there was a van full of like 10 brown people who rocked up to collect his stuff, which made me kind of question, have they thought this through? Because if you have a van full of 10 people, where does the stuff actually go, right?
It is a
problem. And even they were like, oh, this is like Chandrika's son. It's like, oh, he's just giving it away? Like, well, he will never sell it. No, he would never do any other work. He'll just do this. And I was like, wow, so this reputation has preceded him. Because I do remember they clearly had not played Tetris because they were trying to fit, I can't remember, some table or something in.
Huh.
And they're like, oh, it has to be done this way. I'm like, I literally remember going, this is a Tetris puzzle. It needs to come this way and then rotate and goes clunk, and there it is. And I was like, wow, Tetris has an actual... so pure genius on some parts, but I swear if you could, especially after the food thing, if you could somehow outsource the transfer of like the actual eating component to transfer of nutrition to body, you would.
Well, I think the worst of that was when I was doing exam season. Then that was fully outsourced life with the cooking lady that would drop off all my frozen meals into my freezer. That was pretty good.
I think I did that when I did the first year of really busy work. I think you helped me set it up with Dorothy. That's right. And she'd like drop off the food. I've actually gotten back into cooking now, so
genuinely like it.
Yeah,
I found one of my things to help me if I'm spending too much time to work out how to outsource it is. We'll put a link in the thing below. But if you Google XKCD, it's a comic. Is it worth the time? There's a really interesting like sort of chart they've done of how often you do something and how much time it shaves off your day, and it tells you how much time you can invest in optimizing that system before you've spent more time optimizing the system than just doing it. So, for example, if you do a task once a week and you work out a way of shaving off a minute from that task, then you could actually spend, you know, 4 hours optimizing that task, and over the course of 5 years, you'd come out ahead. But often what happens is you probably spend about 2 weeks optimizing that one task to save a minute a week. Which is...
Can I just say I did this today? No, okay. Genuine thing that I hate doing that I was trying to figure out how to outsource was folding my laundry and ironing, right? So there's two solutions to this. So this is where I spent my time. One is chuck everything out and get everything that's iron-free. Right? But it's really hard to find iron-free jackets and stuff like that. But then again, they don't really need stuff. The other was, like, I looked into how would I drop off laundry? Like, how much does it cost? So there's laundry and fold services, but the laundry and ironing services are really expensive. Like $5 per item kind of level stuff. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's ridiculous. So this is how long I spent on it. So somehow, because of the Google AdWords and everything else, I came to, and I'm this close to ordering it. It's a Steam stand. So you put a shirt up and you just that, and that's it.
There's,
you don't have to iron.
I believe the current registrar has one.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're a big fan. Good?
And because there's a different version, which is a Steam stand. So it's like, basically it's got like, you know, those mannequin style, it's like a coat hanger, but it's got like a sort of humanoid cutout to it, so that you can, if there's any, say you put a shirt on, so instead of it just being a coat hanger where you're just like trying to push against the air, it has something solid, right? So you can actually iron out some creases. But there's this special deluxe version where that flattens out and your Steam wand actually has an ironing surface, so you can just get the really difficult one. So I'm like, do I get the normal version?
Okay.
Or clearly I need the pro version.
I'm going to send you a link to something for potentially for your new place. There is a automated ironing cupboard thing.
No.
Basically you hang your shirts in and it gets it all done.
I've seen it. We even have spare PowerPoints put into one of the dresses for this. The problem with that thing is twofold. It can only do two or three things at once, and it takes forever. And you got to keep topping it up with water. But don't worry, I have looked into this.
Look, what I'm saying is you just need a cleaner. You'll be fine.
Anyway. So
sometimes I may outsource things a little bit too much, but I have to say, for example... being able to work with my PA Sam this year has been amazing. Best thing ever.
Look, if I had the time,
my life is like 10 times easier. So thank you, Sam, if you're listening.
Sam, I need to actually chat to you about outsourcing some stuff to you. but wait. It's time for Growing Up Brown. Yay!
Ta-da.
Okay. So thank you, Gene, for the message. So this is just one story. We've decided that since we like messages and people seem to like these Growing Up Brown stories, we'll just do one at a time when the messages come through. So if you haven't already, send us a message, leave us an email. Is that email working now?
It is.
What is it? I don't even know.
That's a really good question. Try mail@randin.com.
Otherwise, podcast@photosbyrafi.com definitely works. And the website should be randin.com now, and it will take you to our anchor page where you can leave us a message. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, and all that. But Growing Up Brown, so did you want to go first? Or because I'm actually interested since you're going through Sri Lanka.
Just your thing. podcast@randin.com.
podcast@random.com. There we go. Do you want to go first on your story?
Yeah, sure. Well, one of the things that I've started eating some fruit now at dinner. It was great. But I just remember something from Sri Lanka is we used to go on these road trips, you know, like just our family. And normally in Sri Lanka, how you go is a van. So, go to wherever it is and, you know, roam around a bit and come back in the van. So everybody packs in and it's just one big air sealed container, basically. This is important for later in the story.
We're not going to see where that's going.
The problem is my mum loves durian. None of the rest of the family like durian. unfortunately, my mum has veto rights. And every single road trip we go on, of course, there's always durian on the roadside. And so on the way back, it's like, oh, I better get some durian for home. Now, I have no problem. Enjoy the durian. It's not for me. It's fine. But herein lies the problem.
Really?
The durian goes in the van, which has the aircon on and is not with the windows down until then. The whole van stinks of durian. Not fun for anybody in the van. Because none of the rest of the family likes the durian. Mum's like, I don't know what's wrong. It smells great. So I think there was probably a point in time where maybe I would have been like, oh, yeah, durian's actually pretty good. And I'd give it a go. But no, after like being gassed in the van with durian, this is not happening.
I suppose my mom, this is not part of my Growing Up Brown story, but I'll say that one thing my mom does is she doesn't have exactly veto rights. My dad has more veto rights than that, but he has this habit of just bringing up random fruits, right? And I'm not really a fruit person. I like bananas. I like mangoes, and there's like a full stop around that. I mean, you know,
you
I have
nothing against with bananas. Amazing.
But you know, it's just like sweet stuff. I'm not really a sweet tooth, like just not my thing. I'm more savory any given day of the week. I do like I said, bananas and mangoes, watermelon and like papaya, not really. Like random other stuff. Yeah, look, I'll try a bit. Pineapples, they're okay. I say not a sweet tooth, but the pineapples are too tart. I really don't like them. But anyway, just generally fruit's not my thing. So I'm in my mid-30s, right? So mom, to this day, will bring out fruits, right? And she'll be like, oh, this is really good. I'm like, yeah, cool. I don't like it. It's like, how would you know? You've never tried it. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yes, I get this frequently as well with anything curry-based.
Like, just try it. Try this one. You've never tried it before. Yeah. I'm like, well, you're right. That specific fruit I have never, like that specific piece I have never tried before in my life. I couldn't have. Yeah. Right? That can only ever be you haven't tried it either.
Well, right? That's why you have to try it. You might like it.
Yeah, but generally, considering all pineapples ever eaten, don't really like it. You know, not my thing. No.
Yeah, fair.
You have to try it because this one is uniquely different.
It is. This one's from the Dandenong markets.
Yeah. So, doesn't have to be fruits. This could be any food, including, like, again, Indian desserts. Like, dear God, they're just diabetes wrapped up in different ways, right? Like, jalopies,
They're delicious.
Like, okay, if anyone doesn't know what a jalopy is, it's literally take some dough, put a ton of sugar in it, right? Make these really squiggly symbols. And how do you make the squiggly symbols? Well, you pour the dough into a frying oil, right? So it's deep fried sugary dough. Then you take it out and you dry it and you go, well, you know what this needs? More sugar. So then you have sugar syrup that you dunk it into. It's oil, dough with sugar coated in sugar. And it's glistening with oil and sugar. Like, as in, I genuinely, like, you take one bite, if your pancreas is not feeling like a gut punch, something's wrong with you. Like, it should just come with pens of insulin on the side. Right? Yeah,
it's basically, imagine insulin, now think of the opposite. And there you go.
Yeah, it's like, you know how the traditional bad diet is like burgers and stuff? Like, no, man, jalopies. Jalopies have everything. Everything that's designed to get you to the cath lab stat is in one sweet dessert. And it's so
designed
sweet.
By cardiologists. 9 out of 10 cardiologists would recommend.
I cannot actually, like, a bite is too much. But I always get told, it's like, oh, you've never tried this? I'm like, yes, not generally. Like, we're all going to get diabetes. Why do you want it to happen today? You know? Which actually brings me to, maybe I will keep it to the one that I wanted to do. It's like, I think all brown parents have a thing where, I don't know if yours, every time you call them, they ask you if you've eaten.
Oh, of course. Yours,
do they? Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So my mom, like, I mean, it's been, what, over a decade of not living at home. So one of the very first questions, like, oh, hi, what are you up to? Have you eaten? And I've just taken to saying, no, mom. Ever since I left home, I've been starving. Thank you for noticing. Right. But it also extends to if you rock up to their place. And at the moment, my dad's overseas, so I'm trying to visit mom a bit more. So I'll rock up. It could be any time. It doesn't have to be a meal time. So I think the other day I rocked up at 3:30 after a list finished. And I just went to, like, the bathroom or something. I come up and there's, like, food, like a full-on meal. And I'm going, 3:30, what meal is this meant to be? There's, like, rice, there's curry, there's a few snacks, there's some fruit.
It's 3:30 meal.
Yeah, right? And so anyway, I was like, I'm really not hungry. I just kind of ate 2 hours ago. And she's like, oh, you know, you have to eat something, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, not really. Then 2 seconds later, it's like, you are getting really fat. And I was like, yeah, thanks, mom. Like, this is after 6 weeks after having COVID, not really doing much exercise and whatnot. He's like, yeah, your face getting so round, you know? But please, have something to eat. And I'm like,
yeah, have some.
Does
more.
The irony of this not actually compute? And it's not like she's got salad out. It's like biryani with, like, oily curry and, like, more sweets. So her thing is like, oh, you're getting very fat, but have some more fat, you know?
It's the only solution to more fat.
But does that happen in your family? Because this is just quintessentially, like, seems very growing up.
Well,
around.
It'll usually happen later. So it'll either, you'll visit them for the first time and be like, you look a bit more round. But anyway, come, let's eat. And that will be for the rest of the trip.
Well, no, mine are pretty insistent. Like, they'll put the 2 points next to each other the entire day. And you're like, yeah, like,
cognitive dissonance.
Sure, if this is, you get the cause and effect here or not.
Well, the problem is you haven't eaten enough.
Well, yeah.
If you ate enough, you would have the energy to go exercise, wouldn't you?
Okay, this is something from growing up, Rad. This is very much childhood. So you know how there's the energy labels? So this is, like, bonus story. You know the energy labels on the back of, like, most, like, whatever you buy, like your calories and da-da-da, right? So when we were kids, my mom used to look at, like, you know, the what are the juice things called? They're called poppers in Queensland, the Tetra Pak, like, you know, little juice box things. Yeah. So I don't know why, or why of all of them, that's where she started reading the labels, right? But she was like, because you know how it says energy, calories, right? That's how it's labeled. So it's energy, then carbohydrates, then whatever. So I think it was like, well, my kids need more energy. So she would specifically find the hot ones that had the highest kilojoules. Because she's like, well, you need the energy. Because, you know, he's like, if your energy is low, you're going to be tired. And I'm like, well, you
this
realize.
Is true.
Yeah, yeah. She wouldn't look at anything else. So after she discovered this on the poppers or juice boxes, whatever, so she used to like go and try and find the stuff that had the highest calories.
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean,
so you can have the most energy.
It's also quite economical because really you want to get the best bang for your buck.
But you're getting
you want to get that low energy rubbish.
I'm like, thanks, mom. Thanks for all those high energy. It's really so like, you see, you had all the energy you needed to study. Like, yeah, the sugar crashes really, really helped that.
Just what I need.
Anyway, that's it for our growing up brown for this episode.
On that note, that sounds like the mini-sode, which is
that does sound like a mini-sode.
Midi-sode.
Well, I mean, it's almost an hour, so it's not that mini. But again, like and subscribe and all that. And if you have any friends that you think would like the podcast, please share it with them. And most of all, if you are on either Spotify, this seems to work on the Spotify app, not the web or the computer version. There is a rating system now. So if you could give us a rating, and especially helpful, as much as I hate to say it, Apple Podcasts, where I suppose they started podcasting. So if you could leave a review, we've got a few at the moment, but that helps share the podcast to lots more people. And we've been starting to getting some interesting guests. So we want to continue that. So, or if you have any guest suggestions as well, that would be useful as well. So again, anything from you, Chandra?
No, I just love to see more of the comments on Spotify. Quite nice to see.
Yeah, comments. Or if you want more Growing Up Brown stories, you know what to do. We got a message. You got some Growing Up Brown. We're trying to do the Pavlovian response thing on this one. All right.
You know how it works, people.
All right. With that, bye-bye.
See you all.
Had to do it.
Why not?